Our scripture reading for today is found in Luke 12, verses 13 through 21. And this can be found on page 737 of your pew Bibles. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege to share your word. May it be shared in a way that's thoughtful, truthful. We know that your Spirit is working in all of our lives, so we ask and invite the Spirit to help us focus for the short time that we have together for the word that you have for us. We ask this all in your name. Amen. A story. Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come, and he would greet her leaves and make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk and swing from her branches and eat apples. And they would play hide and go seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much, and the tree was very happy. But time went on, and the boy, he grew older, and the tree was often alone. Then one day, the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and eat apples and play in the shade and be happy." And the boy said, "I'm too big to climb and play. I want to buy things and go have fun. I want some money." "I'm sorry," said the tree, "but I have no money. I only have leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy. Go sell them in the city. Then you will have money and you will be happy." So the boy, he climbed up the tree and gathered her apples and carried them away, and the tree was happy. But that same boy stayed away for a long time, and the tree was sad. And then one day the boy came back, and the tree shook with joy, and she said, "Come, boy, climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and be happy." "Oh, I'm too busy to climb trees," said the boy. "I want a house to keep me warm. I want a wife and I want children, so I need a house. Can you give me a house?" "I have no house," said the tree. "The forest is my house. But do this, cut my branches off and build a house, and then you'll be happy." So the boy cut the branches, carried them away, and built the house. And the tree was happy, but the boy stayed away for a very long time. And when he came back, the tree was so happy that he could hardly speak. "Come, boy," she whispered, "come and play." "Oh, I'm too old and sad to play," said the boy. "I want a boat that will take me far away. Can you give me a boat?" "Well, cut down my trunk," said the tree, "and there you'll have your boat. Then you can sail away and be happy." So the boy cut down the trunk and made a boat and sailed away, and the tree was happy. But not really. Here in our parable today, Jesus is going to address something that affects all of us, and that is wealth and personal possessions. If you look back at your Bible in verse 13, you'll see in typical fashion, someone is in the crowd. So Jesus is with people, and someone asks Jesus a question, specifically, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Now, rabbis, we know, were experts in the law, and they spent much of their time in crowds and villages, and they were good at interpreting the law. So obviously there's a problem that this man needs addressed, and Jesus is the one he wants to address the problem. So when we look at the situation, we get a little bit of insight through Kenneth Bailey. He writes in his book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, he gives us some commentary that we, reading this today, might not figure out. And he says that perhaps in this situation, the father died without a will, resulting in a dispute between two brothers. Why does he say that? Because the Bible goes on to say, "But he said to him, Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you? And he said, Beware on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." But the man's question is asking about a division of money in the family. So Kenneth Bailey goes on, and he thinks that this is the younger brother. And why does he think that? Because the father's inheritance would have included the land in those days, and it would have been up to the older brother to divide the land. It was totally his call. So theorizing that the father did not have a will, it was now placed squarely on the brother's shoulders to go ahead and divide the land. Kenneth Bailey goes on to say that the presumed younger brother apparently is not content with the arrangement made, and therefore is demanding that Jesus tell his brother to divide the inheritance. So you can imagine being there and having this question happen. If it is, as Jesus says, a younger brother, and there's a crowd, you know, maybe the younger brother was waiting for the moment to put his older brother on the spot. And what better moment would that be to ask that question in front of Jesus? It could have been embarrassing, humiliating. And so as this story unfolds, we see that Jesus actually responds, and you get the idea that there might be a twinge of irritation. "Man," he says, "who made me a judge over you?" The King James Version says, "a judge or divider over you." And so he puts it back on the man. You know, why are you involving me in this situation? What business do I have dividing up your property? You worked for it. It's your family inheritance. Why are you throwing this on me, putting me in the middle? So the point of the question is he's asking Jesus to side with him. He wants his brother to divide the inheritance. And in a sense, he's trying to use Jesus' position as rabbi to sort of get his way. So Jesus, instead of actually addressing the man's question, he does what he always does. And that is he gets right to the heart. He addresses the heart of the matter. And he says, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." See, Jesus warns against greed. And so one of the things we have to do is take a step back and understand the biblical concept of stewardship. When we think of the word stewardship, some churches have stewardship Sundays where the pastor gets up and, you know, challenges everyone to give a little more. So maybe this is stewardship Sunday. I don't know, but it certainly feels like it could be. So when we think of steward in the Bible, we have to understand what is going on in the mind of the people. And here's what's going on in the mind of the people. In Psalm 24:1, we read these words, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." See, Scripture teaches that everything belongs to God. Everything is God's and it's loaned to us. Going back to Kenneth Bailey, he writes this, "In biblical thought, we are stewards of all of our possessions. and we are responsible to God for what we do with them. The parable of the rich fool is one of our Lord's primary teachings on this subject. The story is about a man who fails to recognize that he is accountable for God for everything that he owns. So an illustration might be, if you were to earn $400 last week, how much of it belongs to God? Now, this morning, you might think, well, I made $400 last week, so 40 of it. Well, that's the wrong way to look at it. Stewardship says, if I made $400 last week, how much of it belongs to God? $400. That's the way that the Hebrews understood this. It all belongs to God. Because in their mind, how could I ever have the skill to work if it were not given to me by God? And whatever skill that is, whether you're blessed with physical, manual labor, or you're blessed with a certain skill in your mind, where did you get those skills to begin with? You see, it all goes back to God blessing you. So everything you're doing throughout your day is you should be giving thanks to God. So God owns it all. Now, Jesus goes into a parable. He goes into a parable, and here's what we know. The man was already rich. His land had just produced incredible amounts of crops. So it was probably just one of those years where everything went well. Now, I'm not a farmer, but I know there's some farmers out here. So you have those kinds of years where it's like the planets align and everything is blessed. You're just producing so much. And that's what's happening in the parable. Because Jesus says the land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?" And he comes up with a solution. He says, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build even larger ones, and there I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" So what's the problem? Apparently, the man doesn't consider the abundance, God's blessings in his lives. And then we get this thundering conviction. "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared?'" That's kind of harsh, isn't it? When you think about it, that's like name calling, right? I mean, "You fool," that's a harsh word. We don't go around calling people fools. That really hurts feelings, but I don't know. I don't think he ever read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. You know, he looks at, and he says, "You fool, tonight your life is required of you." That may seem harsh, but why does he use the word fool? Why does he use the word fool? The audience understood exactly why he used that word. If you go back to the Old Testament in the book of Psalms, you read these words: "The fool has said in his heart, 'There is no God.'" The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And when Jesus uses this word in this parable, he is drawing their minds to that exact reference. Why? Because this man is displaying that same attitude. He forgets about God. He forgets about God blessing his land. And he's just living his own life under his own terms. And Jesus is saying, "That's foolish. That's foolish. The fool says in his heart, 'There is no God.'" The man is a fool because he left God out of the picture. I wonder in our own lives, if people were to look, or if Jesus were to appear, could he say the same things to us? Surely not sitting here Sunday morning, but when we're living our lives out there, do we include God in our decisions? Are we thoughtful about the gospel? Are we shaping our lives around Jesus? We learn man's great sin in verse 16. The land of the certain rich man was very productive. You see, it's clear that this land was blessed. There's nothing that this man could have done. The land was blessed. And so he should have been thoughtful. Instead, he just lived his life on his own terms. You see, when Jesus goes and says, tonight your soul is required of you, if you go back and study that in the Greek, there is the language that is relayed exactly to somebody repaying a loan. Jesus is making the point that everything that we have is on loan. Everything. In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes touches on this. He ends his book by saying, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them, before the sun, the light, and the moon, and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return thereafter the rain. Remember also the Creator in the days of your youth. It's the same idea. He's saying, don't be a fool. Honor God in everything you do. Remember Him. Now, why is he called a fool? We figure that out. But there's a few things we need to understand what this parable is not about. He's not a fool in the way of using money. There's nothing wrong with riches. It's not a parable against being wise. It's not a parable against working hard. It's not a parable against planning for the future. No, that's not the point. It's not the money. It's the attitude toward the money. Remember, the scriptures say it's the love of money that's the root of all problems. It's the love of money, not money, the love of money. Money isn't mine in the sense that I own it, says Brian Jewell. It's simply mine in the sense that I'm responsible for managing it. Now, friends, this has so much to do with all of our lives. Everything we do, this plays into. The parable of the rich fool. Sure, we think about money, but this has to do with our time. Where are you spending your time? The great reformer Martin Luther said this, if you want to tell where someone's true heart is, you will look at two C's, their calendar and their checkbook. At the end of the day, he says, look at the calendar. Where are you spending your time? And on the other hand, he says, look in your checkbook. Where are you spending your money? Your time and your money. This man was totally preoccupied with himself and self-serving. Jesus says that the wise person will, as he concludes, the man who lays up treasure for himself is a fool and not rich toward God. Friends, are you rich toward God? Are you rich toward God in your time and in your money? Let's think back to our story. The boy sets out on his boat. And after a long time, the boy came back again. I am sorry, boy, said the tree. I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone. My teeth are too weak, said the boy. My branches are gone, said the tree. You cannot swing on them anyway. I am too old to swing on branches, said the boy. My trunk is gone, said the tree. You cannot climb on me anymore. I'm so tired to climb anyway, said the boy. I'm sorry, sighed the tree. I wish that I could give you something, but I just have nothing left. I'm just an old stump. I'm sorry. I don't need very much now, said the boy. Just a quiet place to sit and rest, because you see I'm very tired. Well, said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could. Well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit. Sit down and rest. And the boy did. And the tree was happy. The tree gave of itself. When the boy wanted to make money, she gave of the apples. When the boy wanted to play, she provided a swing. When the boy wanted a house, she provided branches to build the house. When the boy wanted a boat, when he grew up, to go on adventures, the tree again provided the trunk. It just continued to give of itself. It gave and gave and gave until there was nothing else to give. And finally, the boy comes back, and the only thing left is a little stump, and it gave of itself again. So who's the hero of the story? Not the boy. The tree. The boy is indebted to the tree for all of his life, that it provided everything for him. And in the same way, we are indebted to our Creator for all of the blessings that we have, all of the good that we enjoy every day, every moment, the little things, the medium-sized things, the large things. We're always indebted to our Savior Jesus. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Right? Let's pray. Father, it is humbling, but it is right that we ought to see our lives in gratitude for who you are and what you have done for us. Simply every breath we take, we should be giving thanks back to you. Help us to resist seeing ourselves as the primary character in our lives, because that's simply not true. You are our Creator, and all good things flow from you. So teach us today and every day to live a life that honors you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.